You are listening to the Essence of Change podcast, a conversation where transformation happens, with your co-hosts Omar Ben Musa and Dr. Keith Blevins. Here is the third episode.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is the third episode of the Essence of Change podcast with my co-host here, Dr. Keith Blevins. Hi, Keith. Good to have you here, as always.
Oh, it's so nice to be here with you, Omar. It's terrific.
Amazing. So today we were actually, as always, we were trying to see what comes up to mind to talk about. And today we're going to be exploring our mind made trap. This is today's topic. And so, this is of paramount importance to explore, because we all make traps all the time, and we fall into our traps. And the thing is that when we fall into these traps, we really make our own hell, you know, and suffer that. It lets us having a break from reality, and go into the la-la land, and keep creating scenarios. And jumping on a horrible train of thoughts, thoughts that are not really serving us well, and so it will be worth exploring what is possible when we don't fall into these traps, or how can we actually see that we are, falling in these traps and get out of that.
And the beautiful part about a trap is that you can see, maybe not in the moment, but you can see that they're a trap. So traps have a sort of they're definitely tempting, and there's scenarios and scenes and action, and it's like a little movie, but it has a fundamental kind of artificiality about it, that if you could detect it, you can, because it's not, there's a disquiet in those traps, and you can get lost in them. You could talk about them, you can share them, or you can just suffer them. But they always have a kind of a suffering needlessly in them. Like when you've gone through one of those, let's say, and it drops off, or it leaves you, you always say, wow, that was who needed that, or that was sort of like a waste of time. But in the throes of it, that sometimes isn't so clear. But you use the word scenarios. I remember there's an old Irish blessing or something like that said, I've suffered many terrible things in my life, and most of them have never happened. And I think in the nature of our mind, we have these capabilities of those traps, and we fall prey to them. And I think a great portion of them are just easily, we go through them and then they just disappear. They're just negative thoughts, really. If you don't know that's what those are, sometimes you can get you know, hurt by them. Like the other day, I had a dream. I woke up from a dream, and it was kind of an unsettling dream. It wasn't like a real horrible dream or a nightmare or anything like that. But I woke up and I thought, wow. And then because I did something in this dream that I would never do in my waking state. And then I started to feel a little troubled by it, a little guilty, like I was guilty of the behavior that was in my dream. It was in my dream, but I started to feel bad about it as if I did it. And it was a dream I had all on my own. And then I remembered it was just a thought. I must have just slipped into some vein of thought in my dream. And I went for a ride, you know, and I went into this again, it wasn't a really horrible place, but it was, but I wasn't myself. But knowing who myself is, that I'm just a dreamer. If you know you're a dreamer, then you can even dream a bad dream or a difficult dream or a trap, a dream. You can dream of a trap. And then you see that it was a dream. It has no power over you, and you don't get any lingering trouble. You know, you just understand life is a divine dream, and we're all dreamers. But if all the dreamers knew they were dreamers and not, you know, there would be a lot of things that you wouldn't really credit or be confused by, you know. If you know you're a dreamer and you wake up to the dream, you see that you've had a dream, and then there's no harm.
Yeah, beautiful. And you know, hearing you talking, what came up to mind is there is really nothing to a trapped thought than a trapped thought. Like, that's all. And by this, I mean, like, you could either get caught up in the content of a thought and see the entire context of that thought, that it's just a thought. And it has really no power in of itself. And unless we listen or we buy into what we hear. Mm. But if we just let it as it is, it will leave space for a more, a clearer or purer thought to come and fill that gap. Mm. You know, like I loved when Sydney Banks said in one of his talks, I think in Main Island in 1975, he said something along these words, that the best preventive medicine in the world is to get to know yourself. And for me, that means to really see that this magnificent power of thought is creative, and it creates all our experiences, all our traps. And if it's a bad experience that I'm not enjoying so much, thanks to feelings, we feel, we have a feedback of what we are having in our mind in the moment. So we could have, you know that we are in our thinking, our trap, we are trapped, or we are about to get trapped.
Right.
And so we do have a choice. We do have a free will to either entertain that kind of thought or to let it go, because you know it's flowing, you know, it's leaving. It's not there to harm you. It's not there to, it cannot damage us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what happened is that we get caught up in the movie of our thinking. And we believe it to be true. And so we suffer that. This is our own, or our mind-made trap.
It's kind of like a, it's like you get sold something. It's you know, it's sort of like you're at a market or something, and then somebody said, "Hey, what do you want to buy this?" And you think, "Oh yeah, look at that." And so, in the scenario, and then later you realize, well, that was a worthless thing. There was no merit to that. It was just it disappears. And again, if you know that you're a thinker, which you are, everyone is a thinker, and everyone has this mental life, and so they're enjoying their experience of positive or negative. It's through that means that they have that they have their experiences. Then it does something to soften the whole experience of it, and furthermore, it helps to quiet it down. Like something happened as I've gone along in my life and I've understood more. I found that, I mean, would you say this too? Like, I think that the negativities and the, like, it's not to say that they don't come, but they don't matter anymore. They don't have any, they don't engender the fear that they used to. I can remember, you know, dreams and things as a young man. Oh man, it was just torturous. I would be being chased by somebody, or couldn't get somewhere where I really needed to get to, and I was kind of under duress in my dreams. Or nightmares or daymares, and that would they were torturous, and the torture of those moments, I think there's just been a steady decrease of the sense of the struggle and the suffering of the struggle. It's not to say that they don't happen, but they're like they've lost their valence. They've lost their ability to really affect me so much. So I've gotten more lighter-hearted about them, and they're more and more and more harmless.
A really good example for this that came to mind is, you know, I was watching the finals of Wimbledon championship, and it was, you know, Djokovic against Nick, an Australian player, and like he was leading with one set, right? And it's like he needs two more sets to win the match, but then he lost the second set. And in the third set, he was like 40 love. And then Djokovic came back and won the game. And so Nick Kyrgios couldn't get over that game. Like you could see him so upset and so revved up in his thinking, and he was like speaking loudly, 40 love, and he's like in the third set and still speaking about that game. And so you could see that his performance plummeted. Like he performed weakly after that. He just couldn't forget about it and get present and just play. Each point. And so like when I saw this, I just seen that like Nick was like innocently trapped in his thinking that like that he's that he's really bad, that he could lose this game, that he could not keep, you know, like he had only one point left to win the game and he lost the set because of that. And he was just having this negative thought and speaking with himself in a really negative way. That for me concluded that, you know, like he won't be able to perform well. And he needs to be in a state of flow to be able to win, you know, more games, more points, more games, and the two sets.
And not be trapped in that, the past of that.
Absolutely.
You know, in the capability to drop a thought or drop a bad experience or a bad play or a bad moment or mistake, and to then reset, which is known as resilience. You know, that's what that is. But when my daughter played volleyball in high school, the coach said, she wanted to advance her up to another level of the varsity play as a freshman. And we said, why do you want to do that, coach? And she said, the other girls play better when your daughter's on the court. And we said, well, why is that? And she said, well, I don't know. Like, the chemistry changes. And I said, well, we don't think she's that much of a better player. She said, well, she's not better, but she gets over things. Like she says, you know what I hear her saying? Oh, the girls would have a play and then they would, get together and kind of have a little huddle after every play, whether they made the point or not. And she said, Maddie says, that's my daughter. She would say, next ball, next ball. And that became like a motto of the team. It was like, next ball, you're looking, it was in the moment. And Maddie was really good about the next ball, and she's been that way as a child, and now as a mother, she's a next ball kind of woman. She's not playing ball anymore, but she's playing ball still. She just has a way of dropping the past. And anyone who can drop the past has to be functioning very, very effectively, very efficiently. I think that's what separates separates people. They get over things. They must know that it's a world of thought, and so that it dissipates, goes away, and they're left in a world of more wonder and freshness and see what the next moment is going to bring me here. And that's the difference between mental health and less.
You know, like I remember one of my clients had a really interesting experience, actually. She once told me, "Oh, I have to ask you," like, and then I was like, "Okay, go ahead." And she was like, "Is it normal to feel okay with this and not get upset about this event?" And I told her, "Okay, what's happened?" And she told me, "Well, this friend of mine, like, she sent me a text just, you know, like half an hour ago before our session. And she was like, well, I called you 2 days ago to have, you know, lunch with us, you know, like between ladies, and you didn't come and join us. And when I checked my phone, there was no call." And usually I would get really upset and angry about this kind of things, but I just didn't. Well, is this normal? You know, I paused for a second. I was like, you know what's not normal is getting upset about these kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because nothing outside of you, no event or circumstance could control your feelings or make you feel anything.
Yeah.
And when you're in tune with who you truly are, you just won't engage with these traps.
Yeah.
You're in touch, or like in the moment, and in touch with the essence of change. No, where pure joy lies and well-being.
It's interesting too, you know, in that instance, like this, she would, it's almost like you have to ask, like someone credible, you know, you have to ask, is this normal? Is it normal? Like, because if you've lived, you might say abnormal, or you've been abnormal, and then you're suddenly not bothered by something that you know that used to bother you, or it's like, is it okay that I'm okay? You know, is this the way I should be? Like, I think we're sort of very out of shape, you might say, you know, with mental health. Like, mental health it seems so easy and so unplussed and so natural. It seems so natural that you have to sort of acquire a taste for it. Like, you're not used to it being life being this giving and beautiful and all that it's bringing you. I've had people talk to me through the years, and they've said very similar things to what she said. You know, is this okay? I didn't take offense. I didn't get troubled. I didn't get unplussed. I just went on, you know, and I kind of rolled with it. I didn't really, so things happened, but there wasn't any harm done to that person, you know. And then they say, if you don't have harm and resentment or guilt or negativity, is that normal? Well, it is normal, but the normal is sort of unusual to some people sometimes. So you have to kind of get familiar with being happy. Like, it's not really It's not really typical.
We've been used to conditioning.
Yeah. We're used to the abnormal, the conditioning and the beliefs and the negativities. The negativities are not. We're oftentimes so used to them that they. It seems it's new to be okay. And I think that's a change, you know, and those little changes, they take on a momentum, you know, and people become pleased, easily pleased and happy and not afraid. And it seems subtle, but it's kind of a thought by thought by thought by thought, and pretty soon you got a whole different life or direction. It's really interesting. It's kind of like acquiring a taste for to be happy. Like you have to sort of get used to it.
Right. Well, it's rather. For me, it's rather just, like seeing that all these beliefs and all what I've been thinking my whole life, you know, was not true. Wasn't bringing me these feelings I thought they're bringing me. And where it's actually come from is from my thinking in the moment. I mean, that's a shock for people. I mean, that was a shock. In my case, you know.
Yeah, me too.
And so it's really kind of pondering on that and seeing for ourselves that, oh my God, how come nobody told me this before? How come I haven't seen this? Well, we get glimpses of it, like we all get glimpses of that, but we just do like nothing happened. We love being in our intellect. We love playing in that level. But there is a much higher level that that we could all fall into when we when we start being humble and give up what we know. Like how to handle a situation, etc. Like being the expert, like putting ourselves in that state of like being in the unknown is the highest form of, knowing and being creative and finding solutions.
Yeah.
And nothing trumps that. No amount of information trumps that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a safe zone or something like that. I had this woman who had gone through a difficult episode with earthquakes. She lived in an earthquake. They had a huge earthquake, and then they had a series. And then every day they would have another earthquake for months. And but she found that what she called safety. She found psychological safety. And she worked a lot with school children and executives too, but she works with a lot of different people. But then a lot of people were suffered the trauma of the last quake, you know, and they were lingering in fear of the next. When's it going to happen? And the quakes would happen every day or just about every day for months and months and months. So it was going to happen, but she found it didn't really take a toll on her anymore. She was just like, she was safe. And she stood out among her peers, and other teachers would ask her, "What, you don't seem to be suffering?" She said, "You know, I'm not really suffering. I did suffer before, but I just have learned that the suffering is just negative thinking, and I don't really have to be frightened of it. I'm not frightened of my negative thinking." That's what she said. And so she found herself being safe. And when she was safe, she was a leader in her school and in her community. And it's like she had a secret. But it wasn't anything personal. It's like she just got over it. She just kept forgiving and getting over it and getting over it and getting over it and getting over it. She never got tired of getting over it. It was like she got used to getting over it. But she was getting over her own doubts and fears and negativities anyway. So it was like it was easy. But if you believe, like you're saying, if you believe that those negativities are being caused by something other than thought in the moment, then they take on a life of their own.